So as we move on to this sermon series is called Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Hebrew, that means praise the Lord. And we are covering the last five psalms of the entire book of Psalms. And every time it starts and ends, it ends with this phrase, Hallelujah, or praise the Lord. So in the last sermon, we talked about praising God for his salvation. And the question was, who should we trust to fix our issues? And the answer that we came up with was the Lord. The Lord is the one that fixes our issues. And a point that we tried to leave with was that Jesus saves in real life. That he's not just a spiritual savior who covers our sins, which is true, and we praise God for that, but that he actually saves you from real, quote unquote, real life stuff. Amen? Amen. So today we are moving forward in this series, and we will be coming from Psalm 147. Psalm 147. And we're going to be covering the whole of Psalm 147. There is quite a lot, and I am going to move at the Spirit's lead. I encourage you to read it and study it in your own time. We will cover it today, but just for the in the interest of time, we're going to read verses 19 through 20. When you have it, say amen. If you still need some time, say wait a minute. Everybody's speedy in here. Psalm 147, verses 19 through 20. I'm going to read out of the Christian Standard Bible. You will find similar words printed in your text. Psalm 147, 19 through 20 reads as follows. It says, he declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and judgments to Israel. He has not done this for every nation. They do not know his judgments. Hallelujah. Or some versions say, praise the Lord. Amen. And I would like to come from the following subject. Praise God for his favor. Praise God for his favor. Life isn't fair. How many times have we heard that said before? We can be honest. How many times have we said that before? Now, here's the thing. When we as Christians complain to the Lord about how life is not fair, what we're subconsciously saying is that the Lord should be fair to us. We've accepted that this world is a mess, right? We've accepted that we're sinners, but we're saved by grace. We've accepted that. We've accepted that Jesus has cleaned us up. And so now that we are part of God's family, it makes even more sense that God should be fair to us. Right? You know, like God should be blessing us Christians with things that the world may not get. You know, like God should at least bless our health. God should at least bless our families. He should bless our finances. In our hearts, that's fair. Right? We should be blessed because We serve the Lord. So when we complain, we are saying that the Lord is somehow not fair. We are saying that the Lord is not blessing us like we think he should. So that's the question I want to discuss today. How does the Lord bless his people? The Bible says he blesses us, right? How? How does the Lord bless his people? We know God is a fair God. At least that's what we say in our Sunday school and Bible study. And there is a reward. There is a blessing for seeking him. So how does the Lord bless his people? The psalmist answers the question in Psalm 147. Now, this is most likely what they call a post-exilic psalm, meaning that this was written after the Jews had been brought out of exile. Some of us remember that the Jews had been captured by the Assyrians, at least the northern part had been captured by the Assyrians. Then everybody got captured by the Babylonians. And then the Persians, all in a good 70-something years. But now they were back in their homeland, Israel. This was a blessing. So in this psalm, which is based on being back, which is based on coming back to the promised land, he mentions three ways God blesses his people. Way number one is through his restoration. Through his restoration. Now, what is restoration? Restoration is bringing something back to its original state. Some of you might restore cars, or some people do houses, or maybe it's photos. You know, some people restore photos back to original state. Just like this, the psalmist says that God restores his people. Verse 1, hallelujah. How good it is to sing to our God, for praise is pleasant and lovely. The Lord rebuilds Jerusalem. He gathers Israel's exiled people. And when we talk about rebuilding, a gathering, what does he do? He heals the brokenhearted and bandages their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He gives names to all of them. Our Lord is great, vast in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord helps the oppressed, but brings the wicked to the ground. The psalmist declares that even though people went through some things, the Lord brought them back to where they needed to be. The implication is this: if God can bring an entire nation back, if God can restore the entire nation of Israel, he can certainly restore you. And for some of us, that's the whole sermon right here. God can restore you. No matter how broken you are, God can restore you. No matter how broken your situation is, God can restore you. No matter how hopeless things seem, how hard it is to get that love and joy and peace that you once had, God can restore you. And better yet, he will restore you. Now, somebody might be saying, yes, Pastor James, I know that he can restore me, but at this present moment, I'm not really restored. I'm going through some things right now as you're talking. And that's the question. How can I feel restored when I'm not? How am I supposed to read this psalm and celebrate with and be in the same spirit and I'm not restored? We're not even in the same place. How am I supposed to feel restored when I'm not? Here's the thing. We constantly see ourselves in the situation. We need to see ourselves out of the situation. What do I mean? The devil wants us to focus on where we are right now. Y'all notice that? He wants to develop this story that not only is it like this now, it's going to always be like this. However, Psalm 35 says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Isaiah 45:17 says that whoever believes in the Lord will not be put to shame. And we just read that as the Lord, just like the Lord rebuilds Jerusalem, he heals the brokenhearted. He bandages wounds. He helps the oppressed. Look, listen, this is not just to cheer you up. Mm-mm. This is not just so I can just say everything's going to be all right when you and I don't really know if it's true. This is not positive psychology. This is a prophecy. God will bring you out. Let me be clear. It's going to happen. In fact, that's what faith is. Faith is being so sure that it's going to happen that you act like it already happened. We know we are in the situation. We're not denying that we're in the situation, but also know that we will be out the situation. God will restore you. How else does the Lord bless his people? We talked about restoration. Another way he does it is through his replenishment. Replenishment. Now, what do I mean by replenishment? You ever notice how, you know, if you go to the store, there's things on the shelves? Y'all notice that? Some of y'all say, well, no, I shop online. You notice how when you shop online, there's that little counter that says, you know, the items are in, what's that word, in stock, right? Replenishment is the process of making sure that there is always something available so that whenever you need it, it's there. God runs an excellent replenishment program. Let's look at verse 7. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Play the lyre to our God. Who does what? Who covers the sky with clouds, prepares rain for the earth, and causes grass to grow on the hills. He provides the animals with their food. The animals, y'all. He provides the animals with their food and the young ravens what they cry for. Again, what is the implication here is that if God can take care of the animals, come on now, he can take care of you. That's what the psalmist is saying here. If he makes sure the birds get fed, trust me, you're worth more than many birds. Some of us said, that sounds familiar. You are worth more than many sparrows. See, he will work things out. He will make sure that you are taken care of. He will make sure that you have everything you need to do his will. Now, some of us may hear this and say, But God only helps those who help themselves. Right? I mean, I know that God, you know, takes care of us and all, but we got to do some work, right? I mean, we can't just be sitting around. I mean, he'll bless us when we work. God only helps those who help themselves. That's what we say. And to that, I say this. I've been trying to search here. When did God need your help to help you? Did y'all find that? I missed the scripture. I tried to study, y'all. I tried to do this. But when did God say it was a requirement for him to help you? I mean, isn't that the point? Like, that you couldn't help yourself out? So that he has to help you? Maybe I'm not getting it. Let's read verse 10. He is not impressed by the strength of a horse. He does not value the power of a warrior. Some versions read delight, take pleasure in. Verse 11, the Lord values those who fear him, those who put their hope in his faithful love. See, the problem is not thinking you are blessed in your work. The problem is thinking you are blessed because you work. God does not replenish you because you did your job. In fact, you are replenished so that you can do your job. Let me say it like this. God helps those who cannot help themselves so that they can help themselves. Thank God for his replenishment program. All glory goes to him, not our hard work, not our intelligence, not our financial literacy. All glory belongs to God and God alone. He will take care of you. He will replenish you. Now we know that the Lord blesses us through his restoration and through his replenishment. But what's the third way? What's the last way in this scripture that we see the Lord blesses us? And the last way is through his, here's a word, regard. Through his regard. Now, what in the world is regard? Pastor James, why are you bringing all these words up today? To regard means to treat with importance, to give special attention towards something, or to focus on something. Look it up. That's what it means. Let me give you an example. It's like growing up. And yeah, I'm putting my auntie in this story today. It's like growing up. I would celebrate Christmas at my parents' house first, and then, you know, we'd go to both sides of the family, one, you know, my mom's side, and then, my dad's side, which we would celebrate at my aunt's house. Now, St. John, you know who she is, right? Amen, hallelujah. And we know that she has five kids. Now, I ain't gonna lie. I got pretty good gifts from Auntie. I did. But even at a young age, I knew that her kids, which were my cousins, her kids got what I thought were the best gifts. And rightfully so. Why? Those are her kids. I would think she's supposed to regard her kids. In the same way, this is how God regarded his people Israel. And by extension, us as the children of God. Verse 12, exalt the Lord, Jerusalem. Praise your God, Zion. For he strengthens the bars of your city gates and blesses your children within you.
You.
He endows your territory with prosperity. He satisfies who? You with the finest wheat. But not only that, look at how God's regard for his people includes his word. Okay, verse 15. He sends his command throughout the earth. His word runs swiftly. He spreads snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He throws his hailstones like crumbs. Who can withstand his cold? That's the power of God's word. And then he sends his word and melts them. He unleashes his winds and the water flows. Now look at this, talking about the power of God's word. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and judgments to Israel. He has not done this for every nation. They do not know his judgments. Hallelujah. Or some say, praise the Lord. In that culture, it was unheard of for a God to have that personal of a relationship with their people. Unheard of. This is one of the things that made Israel so different. God regarded them. God spoke to them. And that's what makes us so different. God regards us. He is near to us. He speaks to us through his word, which he has given to us. You know, yes, God loves everyone. But y'all notice we just get loved different. You know, God blesses everyone, right? Am I correct, ministers? He blesses everyone, but we just get blessed different. There's something about being his people, being his kids, that just make things different for us. Now, we won't say it in church, but some of us are hearing me talk about this for the past couple minutes, and we really want to scream, not true. Not true, Pastor James. I see others getting blessed more than me. Now, let me dial it back. I'm not trying to say I'm a super Christian, you know. I understand I have to grow, and I understand I have to mature, but you know, there's some people out there not regarding God at all. See, we're going to use your word, not regarding God at all. And God seems to be regarding them. I'm just talking about what we see, right? I see people getting more blessed than me. Not fair. Not fair. Now understand, I'm trying to say this in the nicest possible way. But if that is all you see, if that is all you see, you need to get your eyes checked. The devil wants you to focus on to see what you don't have and then see what others do have. And then he wants you to narrow your field of vision to what you don't have and what others do have, and then convince you to think that you see everything. You see what you don't have, you see what they do have, and now the devil says, you see everything. However, if we were to step back and see the truth, because y'all know the devil lies to you, right? If we were to step back and to see the truth, how God has restored us and replenished us, we would say something different. If we were to see just how much others are struggling, y'all know other people struggle, right? Can't believe everything you see on social media. You know, I was looking at social media. I saw some friends that were out last night having fun, partying, whatnot. I know what they're going through. Hello? Can't believe everything you see in social media. Can't believe everything they say when they tell you how you doing. Can't believe everything. They'll tell you the highlights. They'll tell you how wonderful the kids are doing. Or maybe how wonderful they're doing, or the next trip that's coming up, or the latest thing that they bought. They'll tell you all that. They ain't gonna tell you that their marriage is struggling. They ain't gonna tell you that they have financial issues, and that thing that they just bought put them in financial hole for the next 6 months, and they're hoping that they can keep the job that they're about to get fired from. Nobody talks about that. If God gave us insight into other people's struggles, we would realize just how blessed we are. If we could see the full picture, that one day we are going to be in heaven, a place where we are blessed beyond what we can possibly imagine, that everything we do here is worth it, every trial we endure is worth it, every day we move forward with the Lord in spite of is worth it, then we would think differently. God loves his kids. And trust me, he's the best parent anyone can have. Sorry, mom. Sorry, dad. God is the best parent that we can possibly have. Since God is restoring you and replenishing you, he is naturally regarding you. So when it's all said and done, God is restoring you. God is replenishing you. God is regarding you. But not because of your goodness. Mm-mm. We are his kids because of his son, Jesus Christ. See, when we look at it, all of the restoration and the replenishment and the regard, all of that we need are found in Christ. See, we had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's what Romans 3:23 says. But Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. In who? Christ Jesus, our Lord. God demonstrated his own love toward us, Romans 5:8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for who? Us. But not only did he die, but on the third day, he was raised from the grave. Why is this significant? Why does it matter? This is because the greatest blessing you can possibly have in life is a relationship with God. Jesus' death made it possible, and his resurrection made it happen. Because Jesus died, God's restoration, replenishment, and regard became possible for those who would put their faith in Christ. And because Jesus lives, God's restoration, replenishment, and regard can be received and enjoyed simply by faith. So here's the thing. Jesus did all of the work, and we got all the benefits. Y'all notice in this song that there was not one word about what we do? I'll wait. You can scan Psalm 147. Just look through it and tell me, because maybe I missed the part. Maybe I'm using the wrong translation where it says what we did. Tell me the part where it says that God blessed us because of what we did. Not one word about what we do. And why was there not one word about what we do? Is because it doesn't matter. Jesus did all the work. He was the one that died. He was the one that rose. Jesus did all the work, and we just sit back and collect all the benefits. That's not fair. But that's grace. That means we cannot possibly earn more favor from God because we never earned it in the first place. You know, some of us are burdened with, I want to please God more and I want to do more. We cannot possibly do more to please him because we never did anything to please him in the first place. All we did, if I could just be honest with y'all, all we did was identify with Jesus, his beloved son, in whom the Father is well pleased. As long as we are in Christ, he is well pleased. As long as we are in Christ, it seems like we get blessed for no reason. As I close, I know we've said this before, but I'll say it again. Favor ain't fair. Favor ain't fair. Listen, and I'm being very serious. I know some of us may feel like life isn't fair. But with Christ, life doesn't need to be fair. Let me say that one more time. Might have gone a little too fast. I know that some of us may feel like life is not fair. But when you are in Christ, you do not need life to be fair. When you have favor, when you are restored, replenished, and regarded for something you didn't even do, and when God is glorified in that, you don't need life to be fair.
Right.
Because favor ain't fair.
Right.
Life is passing away, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word, all of his promises, all of his statutes, all of his judgments, all of his encouragements, all of this, his word endures forever. Us children of God will spend eternity with our Father in heaven, where we will be blessed beyond measure. Life doesn't need to be fair. It does not need to be fair. Because favor ain't fair.